ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
Joining us for a look at big and small screens is Wen Lee Ma, nightlife screen critic. Wen Lee, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Hello.
Now, One Night Only is a romantic comedy. Hey, Tony's a coming-of-age dark comedy, and Lanterns is a TV show. All right, let's start with One Night Only. What's all this about?
Have you ever heard of the movie series The Purge?
No.
So I actually haven't watched them because I don't do horror. But The Purge, and there are several movies in this franchise, is essentially a dystopian future of the United States where crime, all crime, is illegal. I mean, crime is illegal, obviously, by definition.
It's illegal, definitely.
Yeah. But there's like a really massive crackdown on it, except for 12 hours a year where you can go all out and murder whoever you want.
What?
Yeah, okay. Completely ridiculous. So keep that in mind because One Night Only is a rom-com, but it's like The Purge, but for sex. So the premise is ridiculous. It supposes an authoritarian America, but at the same time, it is also a democratically elected government that has outlawed all premarital sex. So singles.
Good luck with that.
No, they enforce this by these biometric tattoos that measure like your endorphins and hormone levels. And if you are too close to another person whose endorphins and hormone levels are spiking at the exact same time, yeah, illegal. Except for 12 hours a year from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. where anyone who is not married can boink to their heart's content. So that is the setup for One Night Only.
So we need to, okay. So a large packet of popcorn required for this one. But anyway.
Yes. So that is the world building. And then what you've got is this, on top of that, is this, you know, pretty regular familiar story of boy meets girl, boy and girl don't get on, they go their separate ways, but over the night they keep getting pushed back together by the universe. And the stars are Callum Turner and Monica Barbeau. Monica Barbeau is fantastic in this movie. They have, like, pretty good chemistry. Like, those beats are all fairly expected, but the filmmakers, like, I think a little bit annoyed that people cannot get over the whole premise and the setup of it because they keep getting asked questions like, but how does that work? Like, how do they enforce it? And then what is the punishment? And
well, it's not,
how
it's
did
not people's
this come
fault
about?
For asking. No, I asked it.
Exactly. And I mean, that is like, if you're going to go in with this, you know, very high concept world building exercise and then kind of want people to put that in the background and just go along with the rom-com aspect of it, you've completely misunderstood your audience. The movie, I think, is bad. I think their chemistry is pretty good, but it's not so strong that it overcomes the confusion of the premise. And also, because it's being marketed as a sex comedy, there's like really no sex in it. Okay. It is weirdly a quite puritanical comedy, sex comedy, where I'm starting to think, I was like,
what's the point of watching a movie about a free-for-all of sex when there's no sex?
Exactly. Like, that's what they've promised. That's what they put on the packet. And inside, no sex.
Nothing.
Just like, yeah, very puritanical stuff. I was like, did the Republicans make this?
Forget it, stars?
Two and a half.
One? No, two.
Two and a half. I really like Monica Barbeau in this, so I think she's getting the bulk of that two and a half.
It's in cinemas at the moment. It's called One Night Only. Here's a little of it.
Finding love is hard enough. Try doing it on the one night a year single people were legally allowed to have sex.
It's essentially what people go through dating all the time.
I'm Owen.
Allie.
I love your name. I think these characters really long for connection and the fun of flirtation.
We're closed.
I know the owner.
It's the best pizza I've ever had. I think it's better than sex.
No, come on.
I mean it.
What's your favorite part?
Yeah, all right, okay.
You can yearn the other 364 days of the year.
Okay. All right, now, so romantic comedy, it's in cinemas, is
yes.
it? Yes. Yes, but maybe if you needed to. All right, Tony, now this is a coming-of-age dark comedy drama.
Yeah.
This is about the chef Anthony Bourdain.
The Tony in the title is Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
Anthony Bourdain, who died in 2018 at the age of 61, who left behind an incredible trove of his writings and also his TV shows. I mean, he made hundreds of episodes of television and he
He's the author of, what's the famous, Kitchen Confidential.
That's right.
A book that a lot of people have read, me included.
Me too. I love that book. And I think because we have this, what we think is a very almost complete idea or conception of who Anthony Bourdain was, I think a biopic about him is always going to be a little bit tricky. And also because of the way his life ended, it sort of muddies up this version of him that we have had come to sort of fall in love with, which is this guy with endless curiosity about the world who always kind of looked to tomorrow and the next adventure and the next adventure. So when you kind of hear they're making an Anthony Bourdain biopic, you're just like, ooh, how are they going to do that? Well, what they did is actually incredibly clever. So this is a Canadian filmmaker, Matt Johnson, who made the Blackberry movie, which is so much better than that sounds. And he wrote and directed
this. Oh, the movie
this.
About the Blackberry?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic
movie. It's a great movie. So this is the
Seriously,
same guy.
I know this is a digression. If you haven't seen this, I know this sounds off-putting, but it's a movie about how they made the device, the Blackberry.
And it's four.
And it's fall, and it's really, really good.
It's really good, and it was also Barack Obama's, like, one of his favourite movies that year.
Yeah, no, it's really surprising. It's a bit like Ford v Ferrari, world's worst title, but actually very good movie.
Very good. I also like that one too. Mm. So but this is a little bit more different for Matt Johnson. I think the vibe is a little bit different. It's probably a little more sentimental, and I think it works in this case. So what they've done is that they have taken a very, very small slice of Bourdain's youth. He's 19 years old. 1975, and it's the summer he spends in Provincetown, which is this fishing community on the very tip of Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And it's his first professional job in a kitchen as a dishwasher, which he falls into accidentally. And so it's a summer of, you know, the chaos and the freneticism of being in this kitchen, of falling in love, of learning the ropes, of also like not being immediately good at something as well. Like he gets into the kitchen and he burns himself and he causes a fire and just like, this is how it goes. What I also really like is that it is a part of his life that Bourdain has never written that much about. Like it's half a chapter in Kitchen Confidential. You know, he talked about it for 5 minutes on an episode of Parts Unknown once. So they are really drawing on the little things that he's left behind to create this entire very persuasive, very evocative slice of 1975. The actor in it is Dominic Sessa, who was the younger guy to Paul Giamatti's co-lead in The Holdovers, another great film. And he is very persuasive in this.
Is it one of these noisy restaurant movies like the Bear? And
no,
all these sort of
no.
Things?
They do spend time in the restaurant, so there are those scenes. But, you know, he's also kind of just walking around town. He's trying to get his crush to fall in love with him. You know, there are scenes on the beach, on the boardwalk.
Let's hear a bit from it.
Let me teach you this. This is how you open an oyster.
I ate these in France when I was a kid. I said they taste like the future.
I was reminded every measure I got on fine with modern living.
This guy, he's like a master chef.
And the world still so wild called to me.
We're gonna start with this is special. Every Friday, something fancy but not pretentious, something sexy, Mickey, you know? Something only you can do.
I was lost, I've been kept.
This is insane!
I know!
What's this?
That's for you.
And the world still so wild, come to me.
If anybody asks, not a writer. I work in a kitchen.
Sorry, what is your name?
Anthony Bourdain.
It's great. It's really great. And actually, just at the very end of that clip where he uses his name, Anthony Bourdain, they only use that once and it's at the end of the movie. And it really comes in a moment with gravity and you sit there and you go, you know what? They have completely earned the use of that name.
Okay. Stars for it?
4 stars.
4 stars. Okay. It's in cinemas, is it?
It is. From Thursday.
Thursday. Coming of Age, it's called. All right. And just finally, Lanterns. This is a TV show. Where do we see it?
This is on HBO Max.
HBO Max. Okay. Now, what's all this about?
Okay. I'm going to say some words that's going to make you go, oh, no. This is a DC Comics movie.
Oh, no.
Sorry, TV show. Oh, exactly.
No. I'll just make a cup of tea. You talk.
Yeah. But I'm going to go in bat for this because it stars Kyle Chandler, mm-hmm. who has been in everything and is fantastic in everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's one of the most affable screen presences of the 21st century. And Aaron Pierre, who is a great actor, is a younger actor. So this is about the Green Lantern Corps, which I actually knew almost nothing about because I chose not to see that terrible Ryan Reynolds movie from like 15, 20 years ago. And essentially, what you need to know is that they're kind of like space cops. And Hal Jordan, who Kyle Chandler plays, has a magic ring that can like help him fly and create objects. But what this is, and it's being sold and marketed as DC Comics meets True Detective. And it's actually a pretty good genre mash of that neo-Western mystery series with a comic book thing because, you know, it's desaturated. They're investigating a mass shooting in a small town in Nebraska. There is a sheriff there played by Kelly MacDonald, who is fantastic, the great Scottish actor. And there is just like a groundedness to it. There's also a bit of a surliness to it because Hal is like 60 years old and Aaron Pierre is his younger recruit who's essentially being sent there to replace him. So it's a little bit about aging and obsolescence and all this stuff. And it's so much better than it sounds because I think because of the involvement of Damon Lindelof, who is this great TV writer who was involved with Lost, did The Leftovers, and actually did a great comic book adaptation series in 2018, 2019 called Watchmen, also for HBO, which won like 11 Emmys.
Okay. Here's a bit from the trailer of Lanterns.
There's an interplanetary war criminal hiding here in Rushville.
What does this thing want?
We don't know. These aliens are going to waltz into town. They're going to blow up.
4 aliens are dead, and yet you linger.
I think you're hiding something on this property you don't want me to see.
These weapons are too high-tech to be from around here.
One of the most dangerous beings to ever exist knows it has been found. You have 48 hours to identify the Manhunter. No reason for innocent lives to be lost.
You're only going to get one shot at this. Do not miss.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Stars?
3.5.
3.5, okay. Someone's got to like it. Lanterns, 3.5 stars. Tony, that's on TV on HBO Max. Tony is about Anthony Bourdain. Sounds interesting, actually. Movie, it's in the cinemas, 4 stars. One night only. Only if you needed to. 2.5 stars. All right, Wendy. Terrific. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.